The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hell's Radio Adventure Theater. I'm Tom Bosley. Welcome again to the magic world of radio, where your imagination can lead you to the most thrilling adventures you ever dreamed of. Today, the sailor who wouldn't give up, from the storybook of that master writer of the sea, Jack London. It's a tale of courage, bravery, and the bravado of a young American seaman who matches wits with the Japanese in the harbor and the Russians at sea. Our adventure, The Sailor Who Wouldn't Give Up, was written by Jack London and adapted especially for the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater by James Agate Jr. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
This is all wet.
Jack London, who wrote our story, really lived the adventures he wrote about. Born in San Francisco, he grew up along the Oakland waterfront. When he was 13, he finished grammar school, and at 15 became an oyster pirate, and 2 years later a seaman on a schooner in the North Pacific. At 17, he used that experience for his first published work, Typhoon. As this story unfolds, you'll sense the truth of it. You'll even be able to smell and taste the sea. And now, let's turn the adventure telling over to young sailor Alfred Davis.
We were anchored in Yokohama, taking on supplies before heading out to sea. I was sitting in a restaurant off Theater Street. I'd ordered sashimi, and I was watching the Japanese chef washing his hands in cold water before slicing the raw fish, when I suddenly realized I'd lost all my money. I had it when I came ashore from my ship, the Mary Thomas, this morning, but now it was gone. I figured they'd let me come back and pay, so I finished up with a local rice wine called sake, and I called over the owner.
Are you know, like a Japanese food, sir?
Yes, I like it very much. Only, I don't have any money.
25 cents. You pay no.
What I'm trying to explain to you. I've lost my money, I think.
You come in here with no money? America, Sarah?
No, I thought I had it. See, I think someone picked my pocket. I had it right here, my purse in my hip pocket.
25 cents! You pay no!
I can't. Can't you get that through your head?
You pay no, Sarah! 25 cents!
Boy, you really don't trust anybody. Wait a minute. Maybe I have a couple of cent pieces on me. Here's a 10-cent piece and a 5 copper cent. I think in my lining. Can I use this knife to cut up my lining? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Another 10-cent piece. There. You satisfied?
Oh, you have painful. Thank you. Thank you.
If I never come in here again, it'll be too soon. Minutes later, I stood on the pier, knowing somewhere out there in the dark was my ship, the Mary Thomas, and I'd better be getting back. I sat down in one of the hundreds of sampans that ferry people out to their boats. Will you take me to the American schooner? I'll show you which one.
10 cents.
Yes, I know, 10 cents. But hurry up. American schooner.
10 cents. You pay now.
I don't have any money. I was robbed. But I'll pay you, of course, as soon as we get aboard my ship. American schooner. American
10 sen.
I'll tell you what. When we get to my ship, I won't even get out of the sampan. I'll call out to my friends, and they'll give you the 10 sen before I get out. Is that fair?
10 sen.
Yeah, I know that. Don't you understand what I'm saying? You row now, me pay later.
No pay later. Pay now.
Oh, mister, we just don't speak the same language. Well, maybe one of the other sampan boatmen will. Will one of you take me out to my ship?
I take you. They don't take you. You give me your shirt. I take you American schooner.
My shirt? You're crazy. This shirt cost me $2. A shirt for a 10-minute ride? No, thanks. Is this the office of the harbor police?
Yes, sir. Happy to serve.
Yeah, my name's Alfred Davis. I'm the cabin boy on the American schooner Mary Thomas. Yeah, you are the harbor police for Yokohama Harbor, aren't you?
Yes, sir. We are obliged to be of service.
Yes, I don't have any money. It was stolen from me.
I understand. You wish to report money stolen?
No, I don't. I'll take the loss, but it means I don't have the 10 sen to get one of these sampan oarsmen to take me out to my boat.
Very good. You fill in this form, your name, ship, everything, and we try to recover your money. But it's very difficult.
I don't want the money now.
You don't want money?
No, I need to get back to my ship. It's an emergency.
It is the wrong emergency for patrol boats.
Well, you speak their language, the sampan boatsmen, right? Japanese, right? Will you tell them that I will pay at the other end, but I have no money?
I cannot tell sampan men how to conduct their business.
And you refuse to take me out.
It is against rules and regulations.
But it isn't against rules and regulations for me to take myself out.
There is no boat.
No, that's not the question. If I take myself out, everybody's satisfied, no harm done?
No harm done, true. But you cannot take yourself out.
You just watch me.
Hey, what are you doing? You cannot take your clothing off in harbor police boat.
Well, I'm doing it. Shoes? My socks?
No!
My shirt? Pants? Now, remember, I, as a citizen of the United States, shall hold you and the city of Yokohama and the government of Japan responsible for these clothes.
But where are you going in the no clothing?
Back to the Mary Thomas. Good night.
Stop you, somebody! He's diving off the pier into the water! Come back, sailor!
Me, Captain Alf Davis.
What you doing, Davis? Swimming in Yokohama Harbor at midnight.
It's a long story, Captain.
You better shorten it. Mind that boarding rope.
Coming aboard, sir.
Oh. Huh? Jump in, catfish. You got no clothes on. Where are they?
Why, I left them with the harbor police. If you'll excuse me, Captain, I'll get below for some dry clothes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Aye, sir.
And when you come back on deck, you'd better have a story I can believe.
Ahoy there, Mary Thomas!
Who are you?
Yokohama police!
Come aboard, sir. Johansson.
Hey, Captain.
Get me Davis back up here on the double.
Your Captain.
Yes, Harbor Police. Don't tell me. I know.
You know?
It's Alf Davis, one of our seamen. What did he do?
It is Mr. Davis. We come bring back his clothing.
Oh, hey, thanks. Captain, I asked this gentleman for a lift to the Mary Thomas, but he says it's against rules and regulations.
What? You mean to say the police could bring back the clothes here, but not you inside the clothes?
Oh, a misunderstanding about rules and regulations.
What are you charging Davis with?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all. He's a very fine young man. Sampan boatman tell me anytime he wishes ride...
I know 10 sen in advance.
Oh, no. So long as your ship here in harbor of Yokohama, nobody of Mary Thomas crew pay for rides. They tell me, Mr. Davis, they admire your independence. You are all right. Goodbye, Captain. Sayonara.
Davis.
Yes, Captain.
Can you tell me in words of one syllable what this was all about?
I think so, Captain. It's because I wouldn't knuckle under. That's how I got the nickname Knuckles. And it stuck with me for years. Well, we sailed out of Yokohama and found a seal pack. And in 2 months, made an excellent haul. 1,500 skins, salted in the hold. And then, our luck turned.
Mr. Johansson, you coming off watch?
Here, Captain. If I didn't know I have good eyes, I would think I was going blind. That fog just sits there. You can't see sun, stars, nothing.
Well, worst fog I've ever been in, Johansson. No wind to sail in.
Captain, where do you figure we are now?
We're too far north, Mr. Lewis. Right now, I wouldn't be surprised what we're in Russian waters.
It's forbidden fishing here.
I know we're across the line. Our only hope is that it's as hard for a Russian cruiser to find us as it is for us to see them.
Just a little bit of wind, and we could get out of these waters.
The worst of it is, Captain, they know these Russians. They won't believe we've been catching seals along the coast of Japan. You are across the line. That is enough for them. Oh, it happened to me. They shipped me to Siberia. And it took me 6 years to escape.
Fog, the greatest enemy of the sailor in the days of the sailing fleet. Take fog, add to that no wind. The only means you have to move is if a wind blows at your sails, and you're a prisoner on the high seas. What happens to young Knuckles Davis and his shipmates aboard the Mary Thomas? We'll tell you when we return in a few moments with Act Two. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly.
Delicious.
It is the turn of the century. 2- and 3-masted schooners sail the oceans, trading east and west, catching seals north and south. We are aboard the Mary Thomas, a 3-masted schooner becalmed and fogged in the North Pacific. There's little else to do on board but discuss their fate. The first mate, Jack Davis, and the second mate, Emil Johansson, try to make young Alf Davis understand the danger they are in.
But I don't understand, Jack.
The Russians don't accept excuses, Knuckles. You're across their line, and that's it.
I'll take everyone aboard. You too, lad.
But I'm only the cabin boy. What have I done?
Believe me, they'll take all of us. In you go, Siberia and the salt mines.
But what about Uncle Sam? We're Americans. The Mary Thomas is under American registry.
So what if it is? How is your Uncle Samuel to know? Never a word will get back to the United States. The newspapers will say the Mary Thomas lost with all hands, probably in a typhoon in the Japanese Sea. That is what happened to me. My own mother thought I was dead for 6 years.
And this is my very first sea voyage.
And it may be your last. You see, it was all fine. For 2 months, we have been hunting the seal pack just fine. But not where we are now.
This is where the animals do their breeding. Besides, if anyone's going to hunt them here, it's the Russians. It's their waters.
So the country split up the seas among them.
Every hour we are drifting to the Russians.
Steamers, lights ahead, 2 points off the port bow.
Feel that? That's good wind. Let's make a run for it. Knuckles?
Yes, Captain? Is that the Russians?
I'm not lying about waiting to find out. Go below. Fetch my night glasses.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Well, if she's a Russian, she's not running straight for us, Captain.
I can see that, Mr. Lewis. I think she's trying to circle around in the head and cut us off. Well, mate, we shall get ourselves around her.
They're firing at us!
with a hole in our sail as big as my head.
I'm quite aware of it. Strike us heat there.
It'll be the worse for us if we don't heave to.
If you wish to say a prayer, Mr. Johansson, add one for any small boats in our path. We shall plow right over them.
This fog is a curse.
Right now, it's a blessing.
Steamer's lights are gone, sir.
Here are your glasses, Captain.
Go for it. And hard a lee without any noise. Clew up the topsails first. Mr. Lewis, set men at all the sheets.
Aye, aye, sir.
No rattling of blocks. No voices. Nobody talk. Not one sound, understand? No noise.
Why is that?
Sound carries on the water, son.
Oh. Do you think we've escaped the Ruskies?
Oh, bless my soul. There we go again. Wind's gone. Not a whistle.
They'll find us now for sure.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Men are all at the sheets, Captain.
Pray for wind now.
But we've no reason to run. We haven't done anything wrong.
Oh, youth. The eternal optimist.
Eight bells. Midnight.
Looks like nobody wants to hit the sack.
Yes, we're all on edge.
And as soon as I get into my bunk, the Russians will drag me out.
Me old lady and me, we had it all planned. This was going to be my last voyage. Then up to Oregon to buy ourselves an apple farm.
1,500 skins in salt piles and all on us.
And a big payday coming to every man jack of us.
Then to be captured and lose it all drives me crazy.
It'd be different if we'd been poaching, but it's honest work in open water.
It strikes me as how it ain't the proper thing for an ignorant lad shoving in when his elders is talking.
Why not? He's a perfect right to. He's just as liable to lose his wages as the rest of us.
Well, I guess I am ignorant, but why isn't our word as good as the Russians, Emil?
Don't you call me by my first name. It is not respectful. You are only the cabin boy here to wait on able seamen. If you was in the old country ships, when an able seaman sing out by the water jug, you would jump quick like a shot and bring the water jug.
Oh, I didn't mean anything. Don't get so worked up.
You would be polite and say yes, sir, and no, sir. But you are on an American ship, so you think you are as good as me.
How did this start? No, I don't think so.
Say, Alf, old boy, see, the old boy is worried about getting caught again by the Russians. That's what it is. So he's taking it out on you.
Well, there's no need to whisper, Jack. I have been sailorman for 32 years before he was born. And they knot and reef and splice while he was flying kite.
But you're being unfair, Emil.
There he goes again. My name is Mr. Johansson. And the kid of a boy like you to call me Amy, it is insult.
But you call me Alf or Knuckles.
How old is you? 16, 17. You is a boy.
Who does a man's work. And because I do a man's work, I have as much right to call you by your first name as you me. We're all equals in this forecastle, and you know it. When we signed for this voyage in San Francisco, we signed as sailors on the Mary Thomas. And there was no difference made with any of us.
Listen to him speaking before his senior.
Haven't I always done my work? Did you or any other man ever have to take the wheel for me or a lookout or go aloft?
Emil, I think you're being hard on the lad. No, Knuckles is right. You have to admit it. No man has had to do a tap of his work yet. He signed as good as any of us. And he's shown himself as good. Better. Knuckles is one of the best swimmers who's ever swum Yokohama Harbor.
Beaver, yes. I got the food.
Come to Harbor, policeman brought your clothes.
Yes, old rules and regulations.
The look on his face when he talks to the old man and how he apologizes.
That's right.
Man, that was good.
Mr. Johansson. Will you accept my apology?
Sure, Mr. Davis. If you accept mine, this is too small a ship for big words. You called me Amy.
You feel strange. Indeed, you feel downright terrible. Hands tied at the mercy of the doggone wind and fog. dog smothering you day and night? A soldier once said to me that when death is very close, that's the time you remember what you thought you'd forgotten.
He left Sweden when I was 18. I am 50 now. And they haven't been home once.
Well, didn't you tell me, Emil? Your mother is still alive.
Ah, she must be a pretty old woman by now.
You know, when I think about my mother, I think, now it is different. I am mate now. And when they pay off at Frisco, maybe with $500, I will ship myself in a windjammer around the Horn to Liverpool, which will give me more money, eh? And from there, home. Then my mother will not do any more work.
Well, does she still work, Emil? How old is she?
70, 75. She never even tells my father her age. We work from the time we are born until we die in my country. That is why we live so long. Hey, we live to be 100. I just pray most of it won't be in Siberia.
As we'd never worked before, flinging out the topsails, flying jibs and staysails. Just then, the fog bank lifted, and there were the old familiar stars shining in the dark heavens. When all was shipshape, Mary Thomas lay on her side to a beam wheel and plunged ahead due south. And then...
Sailors, lights ahead in the port bow, sir!
Why are they firing?
I don't know if they remember us when we lost them before. But a shot across your bow, son, is an order to heave to. And there's no fog to hide us now. Hard down with your helm. Johansson, back over the jib and foresail. Run down the flying jib.
Aye, aye, sir.
Clew up the fore topsail and swing on to the main sheet.
Feel foolish, Jack, standing here at the rails watching the rusky longboat putting out for us.
I wouldn't like to be a sailor on a steamship like her.
Look at all that black smoke.
It's too rough for them to die alongside. Make fast for boarding ropes.
Is that the way they do it? They just board you?
Well, it looks like it.
I still don't see how the Russians will know if we got the sealskins in the open water or up here.
Well, I'm afraid they don't have to know. Just look in the hole, and that's all the evidence they need.
Boy, they row real fast in that choppy sea. Here they come. Five, six, seven, eight. Eight of them rowing and two officers. Jack, I don't see what evidence they have.
If you caught a man with his pockets full of apples like those which grow on your tree, and if you caught him in your tree besides...
Good example, very good.
Well, what would you think if he told you he couldn't help it? He'd just been sort of blown there. And that anyway, those apples came from some other tree.
What? Would you believe him?
Ahoy, Sir Mary Thomas! We are coming aboard!
I wish I was in Yokohama.
Golly, me too. Even a second helping of raw fish right now would be better than this.
Tricky business, catching seals in those days. Sometimes it would take you 2 months, sometimes four or five. Uncertain weather, uncertain Russian patrols. But to be unfairly accused of hunting seals in Russian waters is what bothered Knuckles Davis the most. Perhaps the Russians would believe him. He wouldn't take it lying down. He'd tell them. I'll be back shortly with the rest of the story in Act Three. General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly. It seemed to those on the deck of the Mary Thomas that their captain and the lieutenant of the Russian Navy were down in the hold a very long time. Perhaps Perhaps the Russian was agreeing those salted sealskins could not have been hunted this far north. Perhaps the Americans had taken the Russian a prisoner.
Where are they? I mean, how long have the captain and that Russian been down there? I bet they've been in that hold at least half an hour.
1,500 skins take a little count.
Twice in one lifetime to get caught like this.
Shh. Here comes the captain.
Hold the lantern higher, sailor. Can you see your way, Lieutenant Kirov?
Yes, fine, Captain.
And Mr. Lewis, our first mate. Mr. Johansson, second mate. This is Second Lieutenant Kirov of the Russian Navy.
Of the Navy of His Imperial Majesty, our great Holy Father, the Tsar. I'm very sorry, but it is my duty in the name of His Imperial Majesty, the Tsar, to seize your vessel as a poacher caught with fresh skins in the closed sea. The penalty, you know, is confiscation and imprisonment. Captain, I will bring more men on board your ship. And if your men will help us, we can be quickly underway.
Captain, may I have a word with you for a moment?
Certainly. Excuse us, Captain Kirov.
No.
All right, what is it, Jack?
Circumstantial evidence.
Don't. I've already told the Russian we're in a hopeless situation. They're the masters here. They've got the guns.
Excuse me, Captain. May I join you? I think I've got a plan.
At Knuckles, no plan. This is one situation where we have to knuckle under.
My idea is simply... Well, I mean, we don't have to just lie down willingly. We won't help them.
What Knuckles is suggesting, Captain, that's what I've been thinking. Now, they may have evidence, but we have the manpower. Now, just let me pass the word around quietly. Do nothing. In fact, I know, unless you order them to, and even then... No American would give a Russian a hand in this.
What can they do to us?
What can they? Give their man of war a look while you're at it.
Well, I'm looking. So?
Knuckles, do you see those guns trained on us?
Oh, sure I do. Well, they wouldn't blast us out of the water. Scuttling an unarmed ship, well, what good would that do them? Heck, they don't scare me. All I say is, let them know we're not helping them take the Mary Thomas in tow.
Captain, I must insist.
My first mate, Mr. Lewis, has been telling me my men won't be of any assistance to you. You'll have to make any preparations alone.
It is not a very wise course you are taking. We have enough irons on board the Tsar Icarus to chain every one of your crew and yourself. I hope that will not be necessary.
It was a sad night. Lieutenant Kirov took charge. More of his men came aboard us. Our men stood around but wouldn't lift a finger. While the canvas was clued up and furled snugly away, a Russian lifeboat ferried back and forth between our two ships, passing to us a heavy hawser to tow us. The Russian officer made sure it was made fast to the towing bits on the schooner's forecastle head, and he put a Russian sailor with a gun to guard it.
So, Captain, we are ready now. I will leave this midshipman in charge with three of my sails.
Do I understand that you are going to tow us into a Russian port?
You understand correctly.
You know what this is, Lieutenant?
Who is this?
Our cabin boy, Knuckles.
Lieutenant, this is robbery and piracy on the high seas.
Go on, boy, give it to him.
And kidnapping. There's probably some international treaty you're breaking.
You, talkative cabin boy, come here. There is no such treaty that protects robbers. A robber is someone who steals. And the proof of stealing is if you catch him with the goods. The evidence. This case, 1,500 sealskins. Am I right, Captain? 1,500.
1,500. Yes. I apologize to this sailor. He's very young.
Apologies accepted.
Well, I don't apologize. I think it's criminal what you're doing.
What is your name?
Alf Davis.
You may call me Lieutenant.
Yes, sir, Lieutenant.
I hear they also call you Knuckles.
Well, sometimes. It's my nickname, Lieutenant.
How did you come by that nickname?
I don't know.
Your captain tells me it is because you are not knuckling. Knuckling under. We have that expression in Russia also. Is that right?
I don't know. Well, it wasn't my idea.
I tell you what is my idea. Because you are so outspoken in the defense of this criminal ship, and your criminal captain, and your criminal crew, you will come with us aboard the Tsar Nicholas.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Me go with you?
Oh, yes, my little outspoken one. You go with us. I would like to hear more of what is innocence and more of what is guilt. Goodbye, Captain. Remember, you are a captured ship, and you will act accordingly. See you in Vladivostok.
I can tell you, for all the noise I was making, I was scared. Plenty scared. I'd heard so much about the Russians, and here I was, alone, on a Russian cruiser going to Siberia. Black smoke poured out of her funnels. We were underway. I looked back at the Mary Thomas taking the pressure from the hawser and swinging into line. Her green and red sidelights rose and fell as she came along. Towed. For me, a terrible, sad sight.
Now, Mr. Knuckles.
Davis.
Mr. Knuckles Davis. So it is all innocence, and your sealskins were brought aboard in the open sea. And it was foggy, and you were becalmed, and you somehow drifted across the line. And that is the story.
Yes, yes, that's it. How did you know?
I know it by heart. They all tell the same story. We know why you are in the closed fishing area.
You do?
Because there are many tons of seal here. Easy to catch. They breed here. Load up your ship. If there is a fog, which happens very often, you disappear in the fog, and who knows the difference. The poor seals, they can't complain.
But that's not what happened.
Of course not. Now, Mr. Knuckles Davis, you will make it all the much easier if you are truthful. If you tell me, yes, that is what we did, but it was bad luck, the wind died, we could not get away. If you tell the truth, I will personally come before the court, and because you were honest, the court will be lenient.
How lenient?
Instead of life imprisonment, they could give you 10 years hard labor, 15 at the most, if I ask.
Oh. Boy.
Now you have the change of mind, huh? You will tell the truth.
I have told the truth. And so is the captain. We did not hunt seal in your waters.
It is good. I am a patient man. Mr. Knuckles Davis, if you love the sea, it is too bad. You will not see the sea again.
Ask me why, but I'm on deck, alone. No one guarding me. I guess they think I'm harmless. Well, I've come aft so I can sort of keep contact with my shipmates on the Mary Thomas by watching her sidelights back there. Oh, wait. Someone's coming. I better duck into the shadows.
Seaman, every hour I want you to examine this toro. Make sure it is not chafing. If it starts to show wear, come tell me right away.
Lieutenant.
It looks fine now. Come back in an hour.
I have an hour and a jackknife. Now all I have to do is saw through 4 inches of hawser. Jack can buy that apple farm. I wish this darn knife was sharper. But it's coming. Got through 2 fat strands. Someone is coming. I better hide. Good. He didn't see anything. There goes the 3rd strand. 1 to go. There, it snapped right through. There goes the line. No one's heard it yet. Look, the red and green sidelights of the Mary Thomas are getting dimmer. I can't see our schooner at all. Our sailors have overpowered the Russians. I'll bet they have. We've retaken the Mary Thomas.
What are you talking about, sailor? What do you mean you cannot see the American ship? Where is the Toro? Sound the alarm. Let me look here. This is not chafing, not worn. This rope has been cut. That boy. Now I find out what it means not to knuckle under. That boy.
Mr. Davis, you make for us a problem. You know we have turned back. We search, but your ship is gone. We cannot find her. Did I tell you I have a son, same age as you, 16, 17?
Going on 18, sir.
Even this situation was reversed. And the Americans had captured my son to take him and his Russian ship to prison. And you were the officer in charge. You were me. What would you do?
If your son in the Navy had cut a hawser to free your boat?
Exactly.
Well, I'd let your son go. He did what he thought was right. And besides, I think I'd be mighty embarrassed to get back to my home port with my only prisoner a cabin boy.
Mr. Knuckles Davis, I think the same. I like what you do. I like something brave, even done by a poacher. All right, not a poacher, an ordinary enemy. When I get to Vladivostok, I will put you on an American ship. Good luck, goodbye. And I hope you will meet up with your friends on the Mary Thomas.
In 2 weeks, I was back in Yokohama. I ran to the pier to see if my ship had come in. It sure had. I jumped into the nearest sampan. Take me to that schooner out there. The three-masted one, the American schooner.
Hello, sailor.
I know. 10 cents, but I don't have it.
You no pay, sampan. You strong will, sailor. We no forget you. You ride free. Any sampan, Yokohama, anytime.
You should have heard the cheer that went up on the Mary Thomas when Alfred Knuckles Davis came aboard. That afternoon, 4 Russians who did not speak English were taken from the schooner and put ashore. The Russian government never said anything about it. The United States never did either. Even great nations can keep secrets sometimes. I'll be back with a postscript to Jack London's tale of adventure in a moment. I think we can all take a good tip from Jack London. The excitement he brings to his stories comes from his personal experience. He was a cabin boy on a sailing ship. He did go to sea, sailing schooners. He headed for the Alaska gold fields, and he was a great traveler and explored a lot of the world. And where did his search for adventure begin? Why, when he was 10 years old, he once wandered into a San Francisco library, sat down, and started to read. And the whole world of adventure opened up to him. It's a tip, and I pass it along.
Welcome.
Thank you, Betty.
Our cast included Russell Horton, Earl Hammond, Ian Martin, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
This is Tom Bosley inviting you to return to the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater for another exciting tale you can hear through the magic of radio. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater is recommended by NEA, the National Education Association.